So. Yes.
Yes, like I say, we're not going to have anything to talk about anymore. No, that's the end of it.
Nope. So, about the podcast, did you have any idea about what we were going to do? Because I've worked this out in detail.
Okay.
If I start telling you about it, then you're just going to clam
up. I'd quite purposefully not been thinking about the podcast because I thought this is Matthew's obviously got ideas here. So I'll let him tell me the ideas, and then I can robustly tell you how stupid they are, or, you know, whatever.
Okay. I was thinking that...
Got a list?
Yeah.
Or is that just a shopping list?
No.
Spring onions?
That's a list.
Garlic?
I was thinking about the podcasts I like that are done on kind of a low budget and without any preparation and things like that.
Is this going to be my homework?
Well...
Because I queued up Box Cutters just now before I left.
So okay.
I saw that link.
Right. Box Cutters is good. Did you ever listen to Tank Riot? Did I give you an episode of that?
I think I've listened to one, but yeah, I don't remember it.
Okay. So these guys basically, they do a podcast from Madison, Wisconsin every week or two. And every podcast is like about a particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
So they ramble on for somewhere between an hour and 2 hours, which is ridiculous. And with digressions, it's about a particular topic.
If we
topic.
Could take and you I and like, your like EPC that. And the microphone down the pub, we could probably do that for about 8 hours, I think.
Yeah.
But we probably wouldn't be very coherent by the end of it.
No. So that's... I like that idea because basically all they do is they pick a topic they already know something about and then they just paraphrase the Wikipedia page and go off on tangents from that. And the other thing I was thinking was that instead of bringing people in to interview them, it would be good to have local members of the community, such as Cameron or Paul to start with, nepotistically.
Yep.
And basically bring them in as sort of guest presenters rather than interviewees, so you're not actually just sitting someone down and interrogating
them. You could always
them.
Work out some good questions just to embarrass them or something whilst you're at it.
Yeah.
Get Keith in.
Yeah. You could ask him some embarrassing questions.
I was actually thinking of joining Keith's Fire Brigade, actually. I thought that might be a good opportunity for my career.
Yeah.
And then I was told by somebody else that... I just ruined the microphone for my cut down. I was told that actually I'd be better off joining the golf club, not the Sawtelle one, the Bonneville one. That was a career move. I was told by the man who did the fence around their house.
Right. So that's where you know the people who you have to know
apparently,
in order to get ahead.
Yeah,
the big club.
Well, this was when we first moved to Sawtelle. He said to us, "All right, the thing you got to do is go join the golf club."
Mm-hmm.
I hate golf.
It's too hot. It's not the climate for golf. I think that's why it was invented in Scotland.
And you know, because you stop and have a whiskey halfway through.
Yeah.
Well, not halfway, every hole, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, 18 whiskeys later, and if you even get that far, you know, it's eminently sensible. But as soon as it left Scotland, it all became this evil sort of fascist thing where everyone has to wear stupid trousers and they... There's a village in Portugal which was completely razed to the ground to make a golf course, and now they sprinkle the grass with chemicals to keep it green and water it and divert the water away from all the neighbouring villages to water the greens, you know, and it's golf season. But, you know, it's a good career move.
Yes. Which raises another thing I was thinking. If we were to divide the podcast into two halves, one half being... Sawtelle-centric, and the other half being just general rambling about the things that are interesting, then if, you know, assuming that we ever had an audience, you could have an audience that subscribed to the podcast with the Sawtelle bit at the front and a broader audience who subscribed to the podcast without it.
Yes.
So that they wouldn't have to sit through... 15 minutes of complaining about the council
I think you'll be leading the charge on that one. I just can't stand it.
we'll have to get Barry Lee from the Sawtelle Progress Association.
Oh yeah, I'd like to meet some of those people.
Yeah,
we'll have to go along. Yeah. Okay.
So that's that. Yeah, that's basically as far as I got. There's nattering on about Sawtelle and what's been happening, like the new Sawtelle Village favourites, and as a source of licorice.
It'd be like a catch-up for me, actually, because, you know, I never know what's going on in Sawtelle, really. I mean, I'm at my end of the village. I can tell you, you know, how boggy it is up there.
Yes. how far you can put a stick in the
ground.
Yeah,
yeah. How much our house has sunk this week, you know,
okay,
in sunny Sawtelle. And, yeah, that's about it, really. I can tell you about the children's point of view, I suppose, from the kids, you know.
That's vital, because they are our future.
That's right, yeah. About which is the best house to go and pee in the front lawn.
Okay.
That would be yours.
Ours, yeah. It's a favourite.
Yeah, it's a bit like a sort of teenager's playground. Most playgrounds, you know, have play equipment, whereas you just have a post box.
Yeah.
So they can play with the post box.
Yes, Alison was remarking that it survived the night last night, which was quite amazing, because there's quite a rowdy celebration going on.
Evan
next door.
Actually was out cycling back from the gym last night, going through Taormina, and he said he got trounced by 30 youths.
Yes.
Which was pretty funny, because he's a youth himself.
Yeah.
He was just pedalling along, and he told us that they swore at him a lot.
I walked by fairly early in the evening, and I got some sort of glances, and thought, I'll steer clear of, I'll go up the back lane if I need to go out again.
They're the ones who are not allowed in the pub, so they get crabby.
Yeah. So, we've got the format now. I was thinking in the middle we can play a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike licensed piece of music.
Yep.
To pad that out. We'll be right back.
you going to do little jingles on your guitar?
Well, the theme music was another thing I was thinking of. What are we going to do for theme music?
What's that? He wrote the theme music.
Dennis Waterman. We need to get Dennis Waterman in.
We need to get Dennis Waterman in. Yeah, he can be a guest, our first guest speaker.
Yeah. That would be brilliant.
I can do something on my ukulele.
Brilliant. That's what you look nice today do.
You look nice today.
What are they?
They've got the ukulele thing.
I can't do that then. No, there's something copying them.
No,
I'll do it on Alison's violin instead.
Okie doke.
I've got a guitar now.
Really?
I don't own a guitar, but I have a guitar on permanent loan.
You've borrowed one.
Yeah. Okay. And I tried it once, and my fingers hurt doing that stretching.
Is it acoustic or electric?
Acoustic.
Okay.
And that was the other problem. I started playing it, and Sherry was like, "Will you shut up?" So I didn't feel very light. I went back to the because the good thing about the ukulele is you can play it nice and softly, and it's nice and quiet. You just tinker away doing "Honolulu Baby" in the background, and no one really minds. But get the guitar out and suddenly it's like it sounds like
there's worse than the guitar, but that was one of my justifications for getting the electric guitar was that I could practice without having the amp switched on. But when it comes to it, you switch it on and you want it as loud as possible anyway. But there are just some instruments that you can't suck at. You can't afford
one
to
instrument
suck at
I've always wanted to learn and I've never have, just because I don't live on a remote island, and it's the trumpet.
Right.
I've always wanted to. And that was since I watched Look Back in Anger.
Okay.
Did you ever see that with Richard Burton, I think it was?
I have not seen that.
It's a great movie. Well, actually, I remember it as a great movie, but then I remember Wacky Races as a great cartoon. Mm. So, it might be crap, but I just remember the scene where Richard Burton's playing the trumpet on the rooftop, and he's the angry young man, he's the rebel without a cause, and he's on the trumpet, and he's very angry, and he's expressing his anger through his trumpet.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit strange, but I liked it, and I thought, trumpet looks like a good instrument.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I first started getting into Big Spiderbeck, I wanted to learn to play the cornet.
Exactly.
And self-destructively drink bathtub gin and have, people all over the world mourn the loss of my great talent when I drank myself to death.
But it could still happen.
Oh, I'm working on it, but, not the cornet, but...
Well, this podcast could actually lead to us forming a sort of trumpet cornet band with Emrys on the cymbals.
Kind of skiffle, kind of jazzy.
There's
a lot of that on Jamendo at the moment. It's very, very popular in Europe.
I don't know, it,
fusion-y.
It, being on Jamendo, is that a sign that it's popular, or is that a sign that you have to go the other way now?
I mean, the Jamendo's mostly electro, and I think that's for practical reasons. Yes. But actual bands with actual musicians and more than two of them.
Everyone wants to be the Gorillaz, don't they?
Yeah. But if someone's gone to the effort of learning instruments and getting half a dozen people together.
Yeah, and actually having a social life, because they actually sit with someone and play an instrument with someone and
that
bounce a few ideas.
That means there's creative. Yeah, there's a fair amount of dedication involved.
Whereas the nerds in their bedrooms who've just listened to Status Quo and thought, I could do something like that on my computer.
Yeah. Oh, there's some bad electric guitar players. the kind of people who subscribe to the guitar magazines with, people like Joe Satriani and Yngwie Malmsteen and people like that.
Yes.
I got one of those... Well, I tried a couple of times buying those magazines when I was a teenager, and I just couldn't relate to it. It was like, it's a whole other world of people with loads of technical skill and no taste.
Book reviews.
Okay.
Because I read books. I have read books.
I've read books way back in the past.
Exactly. We can review old books.
Yes.
This is one I read when I was 8 years old.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a whole bunch of, cultural things that may not be, when you think about great TV programs or great books or great music, there may be things that we or somebody else will know about that doesn't immediately spring to mind And it's good to share those things.
It's good to keep stirring, isn't it? Because yeah. I find often I'll watch a TV show or a movie or read a book or listen to an album or a song or whatever. And after it's finished, you're very sad because you go, well, I really enjoyed that and that was fantastic. And I won't be able to hear or see that again, you know, the same way.
I'll start off on the list of fantastic podcasts to listen to.
Can I take this list with me?
Yes.
Or send me a bunch of
I'll send you a file from my podcast client, G-Podder, which is fantastic. G-Podder.
I think I've used G-Podder, actually.
Yep.
Is it command line?
No. It's a GUI thing.
Oh, okay. No, because I use a command line one, okay. Which just runs on the cron and just downloads things.
Okay. Yeah, I can't do that because I subscribe to too many things. I've got to cherry pick the episodes I want otherwise.
Yeah, well, that's...
Because as it is, I'm like 2 months behind on some things. I get outraged about current events from 3 months ago.
Well, I'm still watching what's it called? That guy, the video. Sports Racer! What's his name?
Zay Frank.
I'm still getting angry about Bush.
Yeah. That's good. That was
2005 or something. I don't know how long ago that was.
That was a vintage year for getting angry about things, though.
It was, yes. Yeah. Okay. You could bottle it.
Yeah. So speaking about getting angry about things, Democracy Now! Is a great podcast. Have you listened to that? Okay.
No.
So that started out as a radio show. God knows how long ago it started. I used to listen to it in the late 90s. As a streaming reel player thingy. I used to, you know, plug my cassette recorder into
my thing, pirate man, you.
And rip off, you know, these real audio streams.
I hate real audio. Okay,
you know, so I'd be listening to a cassette and occasionally stopping to while it stops to buffer. I'll be recording the buffering.
That was actually probably the only way to listen to it, because I remember that buffering. Buffering's like the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so Democracy Now!, fantastic American news and current affairs and interview show type thing, presented by Amy Goodman. And, you know, they get fantastic guests on, like your Noam Chomsky's and Robert Fisk's. And
Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Yoko Ono.
Ralph Nader and the late lamented Howard Zinn.
We spend the hour with the world-renowned political dissident and linguist Noam Chomsky.
In the ultra-respectable bulletin of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, we can read, I'm quoting, that the prison system in America has grown into a leviathan unmatched in human history, making the U.S. the home to the largest custodial infrastructure for the mass depredation of liberty to be found on the planet, mostly black, increasingly Hispanic. That's a product of the past 30 years, the neoliberal years, as is the fact that the United States, quoting again, leads the world not only in incarceration rates, but in executive compensation. I'm quoting a Harvard Business School professor who points out that this correlation, this is increasingly recognized to be linked.
You need to chill out after it, because it is fantastic. Anger fuel. Sort of still in the sort of current affairs thing, Late Night Live from ABC Radio National. I'll cherry pick the interesting ones from that.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Also from the ABC Philosopher's Zone.
Yeah.
I don't miss an episode of that. Presenter, what's his name?
I don't listen to podcasts enough, but if I do, that's one I'll always have a subscription to.
Alan Saunders. He is a fantastic presenter. I put him in the same sort of class as a Melvin Bragg, actually, in terms of, you know, having a genuine intellectual curiosity in the things that he's talking about. He's not just, you know, there doing his job. He's actually engaged.
Yes.
And speaking of Melvin Bragg, in the In Our Time podcast, I never miss an episode of that either.
No, I love those ones too.
The BBC are really stingy with their podcasts in our time.
Yes, they only leave them there for a week.
They only leave them there for a week.
Yeah, and then they take them away.
If you don't grab them in the same week, you forget it. And because it takes me 3 months to get around to listen to
the one I've got with the Chrome, you know, it might be worth just setting that up for the BBC ones, just to grab them as soon as they're available.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is that once I get around to listening to them, I can't possibly recommend them to anybody else because the BBC's yanked them offline. And in a recent episode, Melvin Bragg was saying, terrific news, we've now got the whole history of In Our Time available on our website for you to listen to anytime you like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's via that crappy
DRM.
BBC iPlayer thing. So forget it. That was really disappointing.
Well, you could do it like the real player. You just plug your tape recorder in.
Yeah. Similar to In Our Time is Great Lives. That's another BBC radio podcast. Not as good as In Our Time, but they kind of adopt a format like what we've been talking about for ourselves. They get a celebrity guest plus an academic guest on to talk about a famous person from history. It's really occasionally quite interesting.
Yeah, that might be an interesting thing to toy with, actually, with a podcast. I don't think you want to do it as a regular format for what we're talking about, but perhaps occasionally you could pick out someone you wanted to talk about, or even just a subject you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So, a recent good one was Clive Stafford Smith. Do you know him?
No.
I can't remember who he is now, but he had a very engaging conversation about Robin Hood.
To do with the movie?
Just to do with Robin Hood, the...
Being topical.
The actual real mythical figure, yes.
The real myth, not the mythical.
So, funny stuff. The Friday Night Comedy podcast from the BBC is good.
Yeah, I like that.
It sort of toggles between the Now Show, which is... It's a very old-fashioned... Do you listen to the Now Show?
No.
It's a very old-fashioned sort of... satirical review type show. It reminds me very much of the sort of thing that David Frost would have done in the 60s. And it's a bit corny.
I say. My dog has no nose.
Well, not quite that corny. But but it's okay. But when that's off, the news quiz is on. And I love the news quiz, mostly because of Jeremy Hardy, who I think is one of the funniest people on earth. He's just got.
Is he that guy with the northern accent?
No, the very.
Because I like the guy with the northern accent.
The very sort of very estuary voice.
Yeah.
Very very sort of laconic.
Jeremy, who pensioned himself off to bump off a bumper pay rise? It's a gentleman who didn't take a pension.
No, Jeremy.
Gordon Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, Gordon Brown's not taking a pension because he wants to be a burden to his family. I'm going into a home. The Prime Minister of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, he's not taking his pension, but MPs want more money. And he doesn't want them to have more money because it would send out the wrong signal because the cops are getting all irate because the teachers have got more than them, which is fair enough because teachers don't kill people. except on field trips.
I haven't, my MP3 player's broke. I haven't listened to anything for a long time. Been the drudge at home.
And also, I think I'm forced you to listen to Mark Kermode's film reviews from BBC Five.
Yeah, I like that. I've been enjoying them. I listened to the Robin Hood one just recently. That's what I was talking about just then.
Yeah,
which was interesting. Yeah.
So, Mark, when we met,
yes.
Just give me a bit more context because I might remember the conversation.
Well, it was the first time we met.
He's got a quiff.
It was in a hotel in Leicester Square. You were over for the opening of Rumpa Stomper.
Right.
And I had a quiff then. I had a quiff.
Who are you working for?
For the New Musical Express back then.
Absolute That interview, right? I didn't mind the interview, but the way that was printed, I read NME as a young teenager now, as hold a on, musician.
You're thinking of Gavin Martin's piece in The Enemy.
Well, that was Rubber Stomper.
No. Yeah, Gavin Martin did an interview with you for The Enemy. I was working at The Enemy, but I interviewed you for Radio 5 immediately before Gavin Martin. Gavin Martin, who is an Irish guy who looks nothing like me, and I know exactly the piece you're referring to, and I will pass on to him your best wishes.
Yeah, where the headline was something like, you know, racist crow or something.
Yeah, that
you know?
Was not me.
That was so uncool, man, to be on by the Bible of your youth. That was just so uncle.
But I know that it all came right because you had such a great experience with the Radio 5 interviewer beforehand, Russell. If you remember that, I was the other guy. The guy you don't
the
remember.
Nice one.
It was interesting.
And there was one I listened to ages ago, actually, about the guy who does the Time Bandits and
Terry Gilliam.
Brazil. Terry Gilliam. He was actually interviewing Terry Gilliam. And that was actually a really interesting one. I liked that one. Because I'm not sure I still like Terry Gilliam, but I always used to like Terry Gilliam.
Alison's just rented The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, which not only did I not know it was out on video, I missed it entirely at the pictures. I'm not even sure if they showed it here.
No, I miss tons of stuff at the cinema here because things don't come here, and sometimes when they do finally make it to the Source Hell cinema, I'd sort of forgotten it was on, and then I've blinked and missed it because it's only been on for 3 days or something. So, yes, it's that's why I download things.
Yeah, so that's Kermode and Maya. That falls into the category of just blokes talking to each other and nattering on and laughing at their own jokes, which is something I quite enjoy, which Alison finds significant for some reason. But speaking of which, Tank Riot sort of falls into that category as well, as does Box Cutters, Australian Television Review podcast, which recently has acquired a female member of the cast. But
Box Cutters goes on, doesn't it? How long is that one?
That's pretty rigorously 75 minutes an episode.
Yeah.
They do stick to the time limit, whether that's editing or...
What sort of time limit are you thinking of doing?
I wouldn't like to go on for over an hour because that's just asking too much of people.
Yeah, and it's still, is it going to be split into two half-hour segments or 2 1-hour segments?
I think we can be flexible about how long each bit runs to, just, you know, find out how much
stuff
usable stuff we've got.
We realise we're going to have to have this conversation for the podcast, and when we're done we can't see each other again for another 2 weeks because otherwise we'll have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the point of setting a topic for discussion that is not going to be anything that we'll have talked about otherwise.
Yes, we'll have to pointedly see each other, not talk about what we're going to talk about.
Yes. So what was I thinking?
I don't know.
I don't know. That was my other point. We normally, I don't think we'd be sitting around for like 3 or 4 hours at a time. We'd be more organised and more or less do it without any editing. It's just today is a technical tryout. Well, I'll be interested to see how much of the traffic noise and whatnot is getting picked up now.
You could even set it about there, perhaps.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't mind the idea of traffic noise.
It makes it more real, doesn't it?
It adds to the atmosphere.
It's not supposed to be professional.
No.
It's supposed to be...
Then it's supposed to be set in a real place. It's... Oh, name is the other thing. What do we call it?
Why did that come in here?
Okay.
Was that your T-shirt?
Yeah.
As good a name as any.
What did I come in here for?
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. It sounds a bit like a...
It sounds like one of those BBC quiz panel games hosted by Nicholas Parsons.
Which is okay. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't... You know, we're probably fairly influenced by that. I think I am anyway, so...
Yeah.
Those ones where they have those sort of drama games, the charade games on the radio, where they have to give they have a product and they have to try and sell the product. And it's, you know, some wonderful soap that doubles the toothpaste or something.
Yes. I was rather partial to, what was the one with Graham Garden and Tim Brooktown?
The Goodies?
No, they were on a radio program since 1972 or something. I'm sorry, I haven't a clue.
Oh, okay.
heard of that one. I didn't know they were in it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was a TV show later.
There was a TV show called, and this might be a subject for a podcast, we'll mention this in our Cambridge Footlights alumni podcast. There was a TV show called I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, which I think was one of those, from memory, I'm going to embarrass myself, but I think that was the thing I was thinking about, hosted by David Frost. I think it was kind of a corny sketch comedy. No. I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again was a radio program. I'm thinking of seven different things. It was a radio program featuring John Cleese, Bill Oddie, a few pythons and a few goodies, basically.
In Salmon of Doubt, there's a skit that Douglas Adams writes for one of those radio programs, which John Cleese is in.
It might have been that. So that was a scripted thing, but they got to the end of the run of that and thought, well, we want to keep working, but that just requires too much effort. So they came up with this idea for a silly panel game, and it works kind of. You know, on television now, the one that's hosted by Sean McAuliffe is very similar in tone. You just, you know, ask silly questions and give people silly exercises to do.
And then gives them 1,000 points for no good.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very popular format now, isn't it?
Yeah. So just to finish off my list of fantastic program podcasts, have I mentioned You Look Nice Today?
Yes.
I did mention it.
I just downloaded one of them, actually.
Yeah.
And Box Cutters. Yeah,
well, right. I mean,
I keep downloading these shows, and they're all over my computer at home, but I've got nothing to play them on. It's so annoying. Oh, yeah, I have to listen to that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so You Look Nice Today is basically Merlin Mann.
Yeah, they have a studio audience, though. They have people
sometimes they have a studio audience.
It sounded like they were on stage.
Yep. Occasionally they do a live gig with along with people from The Sound of Young America, Jordan Morris and Jesse Thorne. The Sound of Young America is
another podcast.
It's
a list of all those podcasts. Yeah. Actually, you should just get a text thing out of that?
Yeah, it'll export an XML file or something.
All right, send me the XML file and I'll. Right,
it's still there. Yeah. The Sound of Young America is basically a guy called Jesse Thorne who has the most fantastic radio voice in the world.
I'm Jesse Thorne, live on tape from my house in Los Angeles. It's The Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org and PRI, Public Radio International.
He looks like the most extraordinary nerd. It's terribly disappointing to see him in person, but his voice is magnificent. And he basically interviews a whole lot of, actors and writers and stand-up comedians and whatnot. And it's if you're into that sort of thing, it's always interesting.
I think I could probably go on a bit of a podcast splurge at the moment because I've been feeling the last few weeks like I've not had anything going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've switched from working at uni to being home with kids, and it's been quite hard making that change because when you're home with the kids, you know, that you've got to cook and clean and all the drudgy stuff, you know, which traditionally you dump on the wife, you know, and so I've had to actually do that, and it's taken some concentration to do that. And the thing I'm finding hard about doing that, I guess, is suddenly I haven't got social life from work, which. Like I miss and I don't miss all at the same time.
Yeah,
I'm quite glad to be out of it, but I want to be. I don't know. Having some sort of creative life of my own.
Yeah,
and I guess that's gone by the wayside the last few weeks, and it's been quite a struggle to keep that going.
Yeah.
So, like I haven't read anything, and I haven't really listened to anything, and. It's been very frustrating, so I feel like I need to get back in the saddle, you know what I mean?
You definitely need an MP3 player.
Part of my problem, actually, because I just got the shits with it around the same time. that I stopped working, and I used to listen to it regularly on the way to work, and it was really nice, you know, just to have some other ideas injected into your brain to churn over. And then you've got things to talk about and think about and inspire you and stuff. And,
It annoys Alison no end, because there is no moment when I'm sort of input free. The washing up is a major, major operation for me. I have to have the right podcast selected.
Yeah, well, you see, I pulled out.
I have to have a glass of wine on the windowsill, and you know, the 15 minutes worth of washing up will stretch out to 3 hours if done correctly.
Yes, same here. That's what I have been doing up until recently. I'm going right.
Go catch a cat.
Those poor cats.
There's a grey fluffy one in the spare room just there.
I know. I'm going to
Matthew. Matthew said that he didn't mind you coming around because he thought his cats were getting a little bit complacent.
I'm good.
Are you going to go again?
Yeah. I'll go again.
Cats. Sort of your cats. Do they, you know, suffer from stress? Because they will soon.
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Ah, there you go, yeah. See.
When's it going to make... Does it max out when I get really, really close?
Yeah, it's maxing out there.
Okay.
Oh,
which means...
Kind of go...
Yeah.